I'm Alan Lytle with the WUKY News In-Depth Report. Chances are, if you live in central Kentucky, you have spent a day at Keeneland, and you've probably heard the races called by the track announcer, Kurt Becker.
John Velasquez to win the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup.
WUKY's Horse Capital reporter Samantha Letterman recently spent some time with the voice of Keeneland, getting to know a little bit more about what it takes to do what he does.
As surely as the leaves turn on the trees, the Keeneland spring and fall meets seem to bookend winter and summer in Lexington with a comforting inevitability. And with the same unfailing regularity, it's always Becker's voice we hear calling the races.
Castle Lady taking aim at her from the outside. Cambier Park in front by a length and a half. Castle Lady second. Princessa Carolina third.
But it hasn't always been that way.
I came here in the spring of 1997 to be the track announcer and was the first in the track's history. Despite the fact the track actually opened in 1936, what had happened when Keeneland was founded, the founders said they wanted racing as it was meant to be, and they said racing was not meant to have an announcer. They believed it was noise, it was chaos. So they preferred to have no public address system. So they operated here for 60 years with no track call. By the 1990s, the board of directors reassessed because they said, well, you know, now that we're in the day and age of technology and simulcasting and people from all over the country now are seeing our races via satellite and such, we probably should have a track caller to describe the action. So that was how it came about, and so this is my 23rd season.
The announcer's booth, about the size of an average stable, is perched on the rooftops at the very top of the grandstand, in between both finishing lines with a commanding bird's-eye view of the track laid out below. It really is the proverbial best seat in the house. According to Becker, nothing has changed here since he first started. The side looking out to the track is floor-to-ceiling glass, the rest is sound-absorbing grey carpet, and it's sparsely decorated with a stand-up desk, ironically no seat, a live TV monitor, and two phones.
One is a standard landline, and typically if folks call me on that line, most often it's going to be the clerk of scales who oversees the jockey's quarters, and he's the one that he will call me with any late-breaking developments. The phone which hangs on the opposite wall is a hotline directly to the stewards.
Besides the bat phones, Becker's tools are the daily program, the live TV stream, a pen and paper, and an astonishing natural-born talent. His goals are accuracy and clarity.
Any track announcer will generally identify horses by memorizing the silks that the jockey wears. And, of course, the silks are actually registered to the owner of the horse. And you get these magnificent color combinations, you know, red and white and blue and orange and black and red and so on and so forth. It is literally and figuratively a colorful sport. The process of being able to look at jockey silks and have the horse's name come to mind, that is still something I find difficult to explain. The only thing I've ever been able to tell people is, I think it's like Richard Petty always said about driving a race car. Richard Petty once said, you're either going to be born with the ability to drive a race car or you're not. He never really thought it could be taught to someone. I think track announcing is the same way. And a big part of it is just short-term memory skill. And if you're the kind of person, if you can look at an image or an object and have that image burned into your mind in a split second or two, it will benefit you when it comes to calling a horse race. I think that as far as the amount of preparation time, it depends, but most of my preparation takes place probably for the final 15 to 20 minutes leading up till post time for any given race.
Abby in pink is out for...
I have a small television monitor in the track announcer booth. I will keep an eye on that monitor. As soon as the horses enter the paddock, I will start making notes about the horse's appearance, any brightly colored piece of equipment the horse might wear, any birthmarks on the horse's face in particular that can be an identifying characteristic. And then when they come on the track with the jockeys in the saddle, that usually happens with about 10 minutes to post. So for those final 10 minutes is when I'm really looking through the binoculars out the window and just through sheer repetition, just saying names of horses out loud to myself as I look at those silks.
Blinkers. 6. She's a lot of woman. Green cap. Abby and Pink go 2nd. Spearhead is in 3rd. War Eagle's Cry is 4th.
The short-term memory is exactly that. After each race, he scrumples up his notes and throws them away, and it's as if it never happened.
I am the world's worst. If you come to me at the end of the day, and if I'm walking out of here and you say, hey, you're the track announcer, who won the feature today? 9 times out of 10, I'm going to look at you with a blank stare, and it's embarrassing.
Once the race starts, Becker is laser-focused and old-school. Binoculars glued to his face, glancing momentarily every now and then at his notes, he paces the window, watching and calling the action.
To the top of the short stretch, War Eagle's Love, Casper's Run come next as they turn for home, Abby and Pink, and Spearhead still going at it, battling for the lead, coming to the final.
He wears a wireless headset that allows him to move around, but there's a light switch on the wall that turns his mic on and off.
Who has the lead, chased by Abby and Pink, but Spearhead in front of length. Spearhead.
When I've got the binoculars up, I am in control. I know where I'm going, I know where I'm looking, and I know where I'm going to go look next. So if I want to be at the front of the field, I can. If I see a horse that perhaps is in some traffic trouble, and if the jockey has to snatch up the reins and put the brakes on the horse, I can drop back if I see that out of the corner of my eye and document that for the crowd. If I have to rely on the television cameramen from our closed-circuit department, as good a job as they do, and they do, I am still at their mercy and, frankly, at the mercy of our director, depending on what shot he's going to put up. And if nothing else, I don't know how to prepare for that because I don't know when the director's going to call for the switch from one shot to another. As long as I'm looking straight through the binoculars at the horses myself, I'm in complete control.
Becker has not missed a single day due to illness and can only once remember bad visibility due to weather being an issue. Sometimes, though, catastrophes happen.
My general policy is anytime if there's a racing incident or accident, never speculate. I just simply will document what happened.
At the end of the day, Becker says he's generally worn out and prefers to spend his free time zoning out at home watching reruns of The Three Stooges or pottering around doing yard work. But during the summer, he travels a lot as the booth and turn announcer for the Motor Racing Network. Yes, Becker calls NASCAR races too.
Given the fact I grew up in a horse racing family, it is surprising, I think, that for some reason the sport of NASCAR took with me and I became interested. But at age 9 in the 1970s, I can remember that we had a family relative who taught automotive science at a junior college. And he came to our house on a Sunday afternoon, and he had asked my parents, he said, could we turn on the TV? I would like to check and see who's leading the Daytona 500. And as soon as it popped up on the screen, I will never forget it. It was the first image I saw was Richard Petty, David Pearson, and Darrell Waltrip, three of the most legendary names in the sport, and they were battling for the lead early on at Daytona. And Petty cut a tire down in turn 4 and took out all three of them, and I was hooked.
Becker grew up around the trotters and pacers. He actually helped his father announce at standardbred races, and now he'll watch all sorts of sports on TV for both pleasure and research.
I'm always paying attention to how other sportscasters handle the unexpected. Beyond that, I've learned to be comfortable with my own style of sportscasting and race calling. There was a time when I was younger, I would think, this announcer seems so much more exciting to listen to, or that sportscaster handles things so much better when it comes to A, B, or C. And I have finally learned at age 50, everybody is different, everybody is gifted differently, everyone grew up with a different perspective on things. So I've learned how to hopefully be appreciative and admire the talents and skills that other folks in the profession have without being envious of them or without second-guessing myself and thinking, ooh, I need to be more like that person or that person. And I think a lot of that is just maturity and experience.
Although I assumed Keeneland must rank up there amongst the holy grail of the racetrack announcing gigs, Becker actually called the Kentucky Derby in the late 90s when he was the track announcer at Churchill Downs.
That ranks as certainly one of the greatest privileges I've ever had in all of my career.
But that doesn't mean he's in any way blasé about his job at Keeneland.
There isn't a day that goes by when I don't get nervous or uptight. Keeneland, because of what Keeneland means to the sport of thoroughbred racing, frankly, what it means to Central Kentucky and to Lexington, I get very nervous every day. I don't care if it's races or sales here. And part of that is also because of the people on the team at Keeneland. I believe that in every department, we have the absolute best of the best. As a result, I feel pressure to perform to the level of my colleagues, and yet it's also inspiring. I am amazed at the talent level of the people around me, and frankly, I don't want to let them down. So I'm the kind of person, I will pace the floor, I will get anxious and nervous before the green flag drops or before the first race breaks from the gate, but I'm also the kind of person who can usually channel that nervous energy into a positive direction, and the adrenaline starts to flow, and the confidence level rises, and hopefully bring my A-game to what I do.
Becker has been bringing his A-game to Keeneland for almost a quarter of a century, and it's practically impossible to imagine anyone else calling races there. Eventually, though, Becker acknowledges that he'll have to step down, and he'd like to be remembered for...
understatement.
...and super high five carry over approximately $2,844. Reminder, John, court jockey...
And that might sound surprising. I think we live in a day and age where there's a tendency, and perhaps it's because of social media, to want to be flamboyant, perhaps, maybe at times... As sportscasters and announcers, we all fall into that trap of thinking, wow, there's a big moment on the horizon, and I'm going to be the announcer, and people are going to listen to this call for years to come. And I believe it is best not to go down that path.
In the meantime, if you didn't make it out to Keeneland this meet, you can catch Becker announcing at the auctions at Keeneland in November and January. From the best seat in the house at Keeneland for 91.3 WUKY News... I'm Samantha Lederman.